like I said, your brain, your primitive brain is trying to shut you in the cave. Don't go out there. This is, nobody's going to like you because you're bragging or your stories are too big. Nobody's going to believe you, etc. What if you told your brain, I wonder, it's possible that these stories are just the right size. It's possible that people will believe me. So you insert that word possible into there. And what that does is unlocks your prefrontal cortex to search out evidence that that is true.
Welcome to the 3 o'clock Coffee Podcast, a place where extraordinary people network together to share meaningful stories that inspire others. Do you have a great story you would like to share with the world? If so, go to 3o'clockcoffee.com and sign up today to be on our show. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to click the subscribe button and tell a friend about the 3 o'clock Coffee Podcast.
Well, hello and good morning, or like I say, good afternoon, depending upon where you are in the world. Well, it's almost 3 o'clock again, and I'm off to the cafe to meet a good writing friend, Stacey. I can't wait to listen to Stacey's story. Stacey is a coach and helps female entrepreneurs in a very niche market overcome being, you know, make them believe that they know that they can actually run a business. So it's going to be a really great conversation. But here's the most important thing. We're going to learn about Stacey's 50 cups of coffee a day. So welcome to the 3 o'clock Coffee Podcast. I'm walking into the cafe and let's go in and meet Stacey. Hey, Stacey. Hey, thanks for meeting me at the cafe. This is awesome.
Oh my gosh, this is so fun. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time and being at the cafe.
Yeah.
But before we even start, let me buy you a cup of coffee. And what kind of coffee do you drink?
Oh, fabulous. What do you like? Well, I drink something that probably not many people know about. It's called Rasa, R-A-S-A. It's an adaptogenic coffee drink.
Why? I've been doing this show for years. I've been doing this.
Nobody's
live.
Ever said Rasa.
In real life. Every time I ask somebody, what kind of coffee are you drinking? What do you like? Yeah. I think I hear a different answer every time. I think it's the most intriguing part of this whole entire show.
No doubt.
Never heard of that before. It's got to be awesome if you are a fan of it and you love it. It has to be awesome.
It's got 12 different adaptogenic herbs and mushrooms and all kinds of things. So it's like really nutty. It's adaptogenic. So like if you have high blood pressure,
where's
it brings it down.
Where do they make it
in Colorado. The Rasa, R-A-S-A company. Yeah, okay. They make it in Colorado. It's got 12 different herbs and mushrooms and all kinds of stuff. And it just regulates your body and it keeps you calm. And it's just like, it's amazing. No caffeine. But I do put a dollop of stevia chocolate in there. So it's like my little chocolate coffee drink.
So you have a little ritual, which I like.
I do.
And it probably keeps you focused and... Mm-hmm. That's great. So believe it or not, I believe this cafe has anything that we'd like to order. They have it.
Sweet. Because you can't get this stuff in Starbucks. No way.
No. It's amazing. It's amazing. Every cafe I go on this virtual cafe tour, they have everything
it all.
That people order.
It's amazing.
Amazing. It's amazing. But I'm going to stick to my standard vanilla or latte, as I always say. And
There you go.
But let's dig right into it.
Sure.
We met. People, listen, you think that we've met for 20 years. We really just recently met.
We have a lot
right
in common.
Line.
Yeah.
It's so easy to talk to great people, though, honestly. And we were on Medium format for writers to write.
Yes.
And Medium, if you haven't heard of Medium, great content.
Oh, yeah.
Great creative writers. It's amazing. Check it out on medium.com. But we met there. We're taking our creative course, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm dying to see how this goes. Most importantly, Stacey, you get up every day.
Uh-huh.
What do you, the whole line. What do you do? What's your elevator pitch? What's your one?
Well, that's a good question. I actually help women leaders speed their trip to the C-suite with confident leadership skills. So we were talking before this about imposter syndrome. A lot of women, in fact, 85% of executive women say they've had imposter syndrome at some point in their career. And it's just common in general.
Do we all have it?
Yes, 70%.
What makes one person have it more?
Yes, 70% of the population at any one time has at some point in their lives have had imposter syndrome. We all, almost all experience it. I'm not surprised it's not 100. But women in particular
Do me a favor, like imposter syndrome, if for the people that maybe are not familiar with that term, I am because I definitely have it.
Well, we need to talk.
But I'm okay with it. But anyways, it's a word that I'm fascinated with. Mm-hmm. Explain to the, you know, the listeners that maybe are not familiar with the term.
Yeah. Imposter syndrome is the feeling that you are not good enough for either your goals, your current job, the job that you're searching for, you know, like if you want to go higher in leadership or whatever you do, showing up in the world, you're not good enough. I'm coaching a COO and she came to me and she said, maybe they picked the wrong person. Maybe there was only one applicant and, you know, I got this job. But I'm like, no, you are perfect, a perfect fit from what I know about you for this role. But she still doubted herself and doubted her abilities. And so that's what we tend to do when we are doing things. It's a function of our primitive brain, actually. Our primitive brain says, stay in the cave. Have you ever done this before? No. Then turn around and go back in the cave. You can't do this. You don't have evidence that you can be successful. Whereas our prefrontal cortex, the more advanced part of our brain, says, yes, you can. You can imagine all kinds of scenarios. You can figure things out. You can do all kinds of things. But imposter syndrome stems from our primitive brain telling us, nope, it's not possible. You can't do this. You don't deserve this. You need to just
deserve level.
Right.
Deserve level.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So many people suffer from it. Absolutely.
I actually learned that. I didn't know this was going to go this way, but I believe I have imposter syndrome as I grew. I had a photography company and still do, but in a different, very different capacity. But I worked my way up to the White House to be a White House photographer for particular events. The first assignment that I did, and it was all done, and I talked to my contact person, and I left. I was ready to leave, you know, on my way out. Thank you very much.
Right.
And I said, can I ask you a question? She goes, sure. Yeah, what do you want? I'm like, why'd you pick me?
Oh, great question.
Like, I'm leaving the White House.
Right.
Just, right? Hey, by the way, why'd you pick me?
Right.
And she says, well, we did a bunch of research and we knew exactly who we wanted and who could do it.
Amazing.
Like, oh. So I was like, wow. That was actually my turning point of creating digital resume online, right?
And
I just wrote an article on Medium. If it's not about me, then who's it about?
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
I mean, I get it, right? If you're, we're in the coaching world,
right.
It's not about me. It's about the outcome in making them the hero.
Right.
You know, who's the hero?
Yes.
I'm not the hero, but I want to work with the hero.
Yeah. Our clients are the heroes of their own story. Yeah. We are all heroes of our own stories. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I want to know that the person I'm working with has that extraordinary level to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a good story and a segue into imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
About, no, you can't do it. You can do it.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, do you still have it? Be honest. It's just us two having coffee.
You know, I just wrote that article the other day about, it's not about me. It's about a little bit of trying to get over it because I'm trying to tell my story of how I can help photography companies make simple. And I believe that a photography company can go to $2 to $10 million. And I've known people to bring it to $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of photographers that would love to be in business and they can do it. I was just on a podcast recently that will be out soon. This person opened up a photography studio doing pet photographies that does over $2 million in sales.
Nice. Nice.
But she had a vision. And I want to tell them a story because I want to help everybody else. Because I've done it multiple times over.
Yeah.
And now I'm at a point in my life where I can help somebody else bring their business 10 times bigger if that's what they want.
Let me ask you, what's your imposter syndrome about? What specifically do you have imposter syndrome about?
So I wrote a book in 2019 called Camera Focus. But the stories I wrote in there, people didn't even know I did. I'd never told anybody. It was Sylvester Stallone, took his photographs for a movie that was coming out. It was Michael Jackson.
So you're telling me all your successes, which is amazing. You're trying to tell yourself your successes. I'd love to know, what is the imposter syndrome about? What specifically?
I don't tell anybody those stories.
Okay.
Because they're almost like too big that nobody would believe me. Like,
okay. So
what?
That's the thought.
Like, you went to the White House.
That's
like,
the thought error. Nobody would believe me. The stories are too big.
Nobody would believe me.
All right. So.
Yeah, too big.
Are you open to a suggestion?
Yeah, always. Yeah, that's why I do the podcast.
Okay. All right. I love helping my friends out. So here's the suggestion. When you think about these stories are too big, or nobody will believe my stories. Or sometimes people think, well, I'm going to be bragging. That's bad, right? Right? Some people think that. So what you do is you're, like I said, your brain, your primitive brain is trying to shut you in the cave. Don't go out there. This is, nobody's going to like you because you're bragging or your stories are too big. Nobody's going to believe you, etc. What if you told your brain, I wonder, it's possible that these stories are just the right size. It's possible that people will believe me. So you insert that word possible into there. And what that does is unlocks your prefrontal cortex to search out evidence that that is true, right? Instead of saying, like a lot of people do affirmations. And I just did a LinkedIn Live about this morning. A lot of people do affirmations like, I'm an amazing person and this is fabulous and I'm the best leader there is. And if you don't really believe it, it doesn't really help you that much at all. In fact, sometimes it's detrimental. Yeah. But if you say, it's possible for me to show up in the world as an amazing person. It's possible that I'm the right person for this job. It's possible that these stories are perfect for other people to see what's possible.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Totally agree with
that. Insert that possibility, and our brains are always searching to answer. If you say these stories are too big, it's going to search for evidence that they are too big. And if you say, it's possible these stories are just perfect for someone to see their own possibility, then your brain opens up and it starts searching for evidence of that. Way better.
That's brilliant, the way you just said that, because I 1,000% agree with you. And when I wrote my book, Camera Focus, it wasn't about the stories. It was about the lessons.
Yeah.
Right? And if I could just change one person's life with the stories that I have that could help somebody else, that was my purpose.
Yeah.
And that's what got me to tell my story.
Yeah, exactly. It's right? possible for you to change 10,000 people.
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, you just kind of... took me 10 years to figure that out.
I know. So sometimes those lessons. that's why I do what I do. I want women leaders because I was in corporate for 30 years, right? And I just was climbing the ladder and never feeling like I deserved it, right? And when you don't feel like you deserve the roles or they must have been a fluke. I don't know why I'm at this level making more than six figures. It's not a great way to live, first of all. And second of all, you don't show up for yourself with your brilliant ideas and sharing them with the world that will make the world a better place. So getting rid of that imposter syndrome, at least reducing it, helps the whole world in addition to our own little world.
No, I think it's great. And it's the reason why people tune into this podcast and a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe somebody else is listening to the show. But this is my purpose. And I got to be honest, I'm not going to lie to you. I do this podcast for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I do it for me. Because I really want to share my story. I want to share other people's story to change somebody else's life.
So fun.
That's why I do it.
So fun.
Yeah. It took me a while because I started the show. I did 2 or 3 episodes. It sat for a year. Because I'm like, And, you know, I had to get through my why, my purpose.
Right.
I had asked why 3 times. Why?
Yeah.
And I found my why. And then I'm all in. Right?
Right.
So and it, every time I talk to somebody, you know, a great person, it proves time and time again that, you know, 1 year from today, we're just going to have, it's been a while now, I've stayed on course. It's just going to have great content, great people. And it's just a great network of friends that we can all look back on that people tune into the show.
And how fun so, doing it, right? How fun.
Oh, that's great. This? It's great. Yeah. It's great. I read something and we talked and maybe I read some one of your articles and we kind of made this connection because I have the 3 o'clock coffee podcast, but you said something about having 50 cups of coffee a day.
Well, no, not a day.
Okay.
I don't have 50 cups of coffee a day.
I have like 48.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right.
I mean,
no
I'm
judgment.
Kidding. I'm joking.
Well, if it's Rasa, then it's fine.
Talk to me. Well, you got my attention. It's definitely a great hook.
Yeah.
You have my attention.
Yes.
I'm all ears.
Yeah. So I have this process because a lot of women leaders that I talk to are either introverted or don't know how to network intentionally without, okay, can you promote me type of thing. They feel like it's like just yucky, right? And it's not all about that. So I created this process. It's actually based on, are you familiar with the Medici effect? Franz Johansson's.
I will be.
Oh
really
my gosh.
Quickly here.
Love it. I think it's from the 90s, but it's from the Renaissance. The concept is when the Renaissance was created or was blossoming, there's a compound with, oh, and I'm going to forget the names, but like an artist and a scientist and a mathematician all together, and with this wealthy Medici family, and they started connecting with each other, and they would solve problems and make creative, beautiful, amazing things because they connected, and they were so far different apart, an artist and a mathematician, right? And so the Medici effect is all about bringing people together. And in fact, there's a story in there, I believe it's about an entomologist and a bus driver. And what can a bus driver, when you bring people together from different varied backgrounds, experiences, etc., you create far, far more than any two other people that have the same thing, same experience, like two scientists, right? Or two entomologists coming together. And so that's one, bringing people together. And then Erica Dowen, more recently.
Why don't I know this story? Like,
I don't know. Everybody needs to know it. I'm in love with the Medici effect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So, and then Erica Dowen had a book called Connectional Intelligence. And this was, oh my gosh, maybe 10, 15 years ago, because it was back when I was in corporate, I read it, and it's all about connecting intentionally. So my 50 cups of coffee process is all about inviting people for coffee, just like you do, and connecting with them in a genuine way. And here's another reason, here's another way I say it. It's like, you know, when you're kids and you're in school and you're like, in junior high, my best friend, Julie, we became best friends because we were sitting on the bleachers. And she said, my mom told me I had to make a friend. Will you be my friend? Right? we can't do that as adults, right? It's awkward. It's like, how do you make friends, you know, and things like that. This is an amazing way to make adult friends. And if you are on the way to the C-suite or you're looking for networking connections, I started it when I was in, I created the program when I was in a corporate office where you have silos, like this department all the way up to the vice president, and that department. And we never connected, never knew other people. And so I'm like, okay. So I started with five of my friends. This is how you do it. And I have a process you can download. It's at realliferesilience.com/coffee. And that'll get you the way to do it. I give you all the instructions and a tracker. And so you reach out. And ideally, this is just 15 to 20 minute virtual coffee with somebody. And I started with, you know, five friends that I knew, right? I knew who would play along with me. I said, hey, I'm trying to do this connectional coffee. Would you be willing? And they said, sure. And so at the end of the call, I asked them, who do you know that I don't know that would be a great coffee connection? Either inside the organization or outside the organization, right? Because the more networking opportunities, when it comes time to like go find a job, there was just an article a month ago that came out that said your loose connections like that are more important in helping you find a different job than your very, very close connections, right? So this was not even about that anyway, but it was just about connection. And so there are specific questions that I ask people. Hey, I'm going to ask you some questions. This is all about you. You don't talk about yourself. You know, if they want to know, then they can ask and you can extend the time or whatever. This is focused solely on them. And so I made warm connections all the time. And I started tracking them in this. I made a Google spreadsheet. In fact, the spreadsheet was helped by a coffee. I connected with some guy. I can't even remember his name now. But anyway, a guy who, like, I always ask one of them is like, what's your superpower? Inside or outside the business? Whatever it is. And he loves Excel spreadsheets. Loved them. So I had coffee with him, and about 6 months later, I had a project come up that I'm not an Excel person. I was trying to put it together. My boss wanted it, yada, yada, yada. So I remembered him and I said, hey, I'm doing this thing. Would you mind looking at it? And he looked at it in 5 minutes. He's like, here you go. So I have where you write down like where people are at, what they like love to do and things like that. And then it's keyword searchable. So if you need somebody like, hey, I'm coming to right now, I'm living in Las Vegas. I'm coming to Las Vegas. What's the most fun thing to do there besides the strip? Right. And so it's amazing resource, but also connecting with people you would never connect with before.
Yeah.
Ever.
Like you and I are doing. Right?
Yeah, and it's just so, so fun. That's why I thought it would be a little meta, because we're having coffee on your coffee podcast and talking about a coffee tracker, how you can be more intentional about it, utilizing that connectional intelligence and the Medici effect. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a great story, and I'm all in. I mean, to the point where I bought another company, a network, and it's one of the biggest. It's the top 100 franchise of 2022.
Oh, wow.
Called Network Lead Exchange. And it's a networking group.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to be part of this. It's brand new. I'm in. I bought it.
Right.
I got it here in Andover, Massachusetts, outside of Boston. It's about networking. I'm like, I'd do this for free.
Yes. Like, it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's like, fun meeting new people. Yeah.
I just met people in the franchise who, you know, like, they got a team, you know, I got the team together and so forth. I mean, I just love that part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait. It's not like, oh, I have to get it going. No, I'm actually looking forward to this new network and opportunity.
Right.
This post-COVID world where we never met. We haven't networked. It's been online. It's been,
yeah.
And to have, it's a little bit of hybrid building back and forth. But I'm the guy. I need to do this.
Yeah.
And do this. So I believe in networking. And
here's the thing. I'm on LinkedIn all the time. And I get pitches. People are like, hey, do you want to connect? Right. Let's see how we can help each other. There's some space for that, but that's not what this is all about. This is more natural. It's, believe it or not, I'm an introvert, and I love having these coffees because it's intimate. It's one-on-one, and it's not about selling somebody something or trying to get somebody to do something. It's truly learning, just learning what makes the other person tick, who you are. I just want to get to know you. And that feels good for the other person, right? The people feel good about sharing, here's who I am. Here's my dog. I love whatever.
Yeah.
And then it naturally builds that connection, right? And that's the beautiful thing.
How I launched, I had a very large photography company. It was nationwide. Things change over time. But how I built it very big was my connections and networking. Mm-hmm. And just a little quick story. I wanted the Boston Celtics as an account.
Yeah.
And I knew the guy was kind of like my guy that I needed to get a hold of, right? You casual phone calls and emails at the time. And one day I just asked him, I'm like, hey, Tristan, you want to go for lunch?
Yeah.
You know, I said lunch at the time because I actually wanted to go to the Fours, which is a restaurant across the street from the Boston Garden. I really wanted to go to lunch there. I had nobody to go.
Yes.
I'm not even kidding you. So I'm like, yeah, we'll meet next time. I'm like, okay, I'll see you. Right. I'll see you at noon. Have a coffee. I go there the whole entire time, and I didn't really say much. And I let him talk the whole time.
Yeah.
And we would just finish our lunch, and he goes, Scott, you never asked me for free tickets.
Right, right.
You didn't ask me for a shirt. You didn't ask me for an autograph. You didn't do that. Like, you haven't even talked about the Celtics. And you know what? I'm paying for lunch, he says. And by the way, you're our guy. And that's it.
Oh, amazing.
And it was over an 8-year relationship of working with the Boston Celtics. I worked for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
And it was just because of that.
That is
that was the one thing.
Amazing. And see, that's the thing is it's like you just really want that. People always say the true human connection. But when you really have it, when you really, that's truly what's in your heart is simply to connect with other people and find out about them. It opens far, far more doors than, hey, will you promote me? I'll promote you, that type of thing.
Well, nobody wants to be sold to.
Exactly.
I don't want to be sold
exactly.
to, right? I mean, who wants to say, hey, let's go buy a car and have all the salespeople go after me?
Oh,
right?
So true.
I mean, I love cars. I'll buy a new car all the time, you know? But
even as somebody who is like,
I don't want to bother. I know what I want.
All your business owners, all your entrepreneurs, and as I coach women leaders, it's like you just don't want to. How I use it with women leaders is they typically need somebody to sponsor them, to speak up for them in higher echelons that they're not in, right? And so they have to ask to be mentor, that sort, or for a mentor and things like that. And then they don't really know how to utilize the people. Simply have connectional coffee and get to know that person. That is such a better way to connect with people. Typically, people will be interested and ask you about you, which is fine, but that's not the intention at all. And you get to know them as a person. It's not like some awkward, okay, I got to ask my mentor, I have to show up in a certain way, etc. Same thing for business owners. Same thing for entrepreneurs.
Yeah. I actually fell into this whole 3 o'clock coffee bit. I mean, I've been doing this in real life for over 10 years. Yeah. I'd meet like the Celtics, and I'd just meet different people. Yeah. And not knowingly,
right.
It was one of the best decisions of building a business mm-hmm. and building the relationships that brought my business to extraordinary levels.
Yeah.
And I can actually account to that one thing was the people that I met at my 3 o'clock coffees.
Oh, I love that.
Did you not?
I love that. I'm going to have to have you on my LinkedIn Live to talk about that, your trip to Dallas.
We will go on Saturday Night Live if we could.
Yes, like, I love Saturday
I'm
Night
all
Live.
In. I'm
all oh, good. In. See, we found something else we have in common, Saturday Night Live. There you go.
So is this a program that you created, this coffee connection, or was this just during the corporate days of your life, or how are you working that today?
I resurrected it here in my entrepreneurial life. I created it just because I'm like, I want to get to know these people. I'm on projects. They have different backgrounds. They have different, they're all different stakeholders and demanding different things. And what I realized in my climbing the corporate ladder, the more friends you make, the better off your projects are, right? It's better to make friends than...
So not to interrupt you. So what's really important here, because what you're saying is really great. It's making friends without an intention.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's the part. If you miss that part, you miss the whole
without
point.
Without an intention. Yes.
Yeah, without an intention.
Yeah.
I'm not meeting you and I are talking to, hey, you know, Stacey, would you like to go on the show? I'm not selling you anything.
Right.
I'm not selling
yeah.
I'm not even
vice
selling
versa.
What
right.
I do.
Exactly.
I'm intrigued to what you do, but I'm not.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not, this isn't the purpose. And so when you genuinely actually understand that you're genuine interested
yes.
and you really want to meet somebody, it comes through.
Yes.
Same thing in corporate America. I just wrote a book about that. Honeybees in Corporate America. It's really good.
Oh.
Again, I'm not pitching my stuff, but it's a great book.
It's okay
He's
to pitch
really
yourself. It's okay to tell us about something that we might benefit from, right?
There you go. Going back Love to it. Solving my imposter syndrome.
There you go.
Well, I brought it up. I'll go down the road real quick. Yeah. I wrote a book during the pandemic called Be Focused. And it's a book about honeybees and corporate America. And it's a metaphor between the two.
Oh, nice.
And it came to me. I wrote this book in 2 months.
Wow. That's amazing in itself.
It was during the pandemic and we were all into lockdown.
Yeah.
So I couldn't, you know, I'm a guy that needs to focus on like 500 things. So you put me in a room and just focus on one thing. I can just do extraordinary things.
Right.
And I was in, well, it was just like everybody else, right? Just by ourselves, whatever we're doing. And so I wrote this book, but it would... people don't really know is I was living my future self when I wrote the book.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Like I actually believed what I was writing was true.
Yeah.
Good and bad news. I said that I wrote it in, it was March and April of 2020 where I first had the book. March of 2020, COVID hit the world mm-hmm. here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, March, April, May, June, July.
Right.
I wrote the book. And we didn't know what was going to happen. Nobody knew. And I was telling my team that this is going to be a global pandemic that's going to change the course of the world and the history.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody at the table looked at me and said, you're not going to really write that, are you? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I actually believe it.
Right.
This is what's going to happen. It's here. It's in. This is the future. This is going to change the course of the world. And people will have Zoom rooms in their homes, like living rooms and bedrooms and
right.
studios. And, you know, I wrote my first book, was called Camera Focus, and everybody's going to be camera focused. The world is camera focused. And it was like, oh my gosh. It was like, for me in my little world, it was like, I almost anticipated what was going to happen. And I read that book today and it's like, how did I do this?
Yeah.
Because I had a vision and I'm actually living. What I wrote in the book is actually 100% true today. Because what I did in the book, I've accomplished and I've already done because I had a vision for it.
Yeah.
And again, I'm sharing a story here. It's not about me writing that book, but it's about having a vision and actually writing it down, which I have to publish a book on it, but actually writing it down and having that vision and actually doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And looking back, it's just an amazing process to, you know, have that vision and then work back.
Right.
Accomplish anything you want to do.
Yeah. And you do that, in like you said, in corporate America, it's just like you've got to make those connections. And I will tell you, this process, and this is a simple free download. It's not like a program that I have. I have just instructions how to do it, how to conduct your own 50 cups of coffee. I call it a challenge, 50 cups in like 90 days. But you can, you know, go longer than that if you want or more.
What's the link again?
RealLifeResilience.com. That's my website, RealLifeResilience.com/coffee.
We'll make sure we put in the show notes so you can just click on the link.
Yeah, it's like boost your visibility without hurting your credibility. That's the other thing too, is like sometimes we end up stepping on our own selves and hurting our credibility because we're pushing something or whatever. So really, you're just leveraging that power of connectional intelligence. And when I was creating this in corporate, I had been reading The Medici Effect, and then that Erica Darwin's connectional intelligence came out too. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is these connections that I am creating actually from the two resources that I found out. And then there was actually a woman, an article I read. There's a woman that went around the world, going from country to country, city to city. In every city, she invited somebody strange, a stranger, for coffee. Right? Kind of like awesome. What you did early on.
That's
where the 50 cups of coffee came in. She had 50 cups of coffee. I think she wrote a book, but I don't know if that's still out. But so just kind of like a conglomeration of these, and I distilled it into, okay, what do you need to do? I even have like, how do you do an invite? Oh, sample, systematize it. Yeah, that's what so what you do in corporate, right? You systemize, processize it and make it a process. But it's fun, and it's something that anybody can do, no matter how introverted or extroverted or whatever, as long as it's about the other person and you're just simply being curious. I love the word curious. I love being curious, and I love that feeling of curiosity about the other person. Like, we were curious about each other and what do you do and that sort of thing. It's just, it's so fun. There are so many good humans on this planet, and you get to know them.
Yeah, there's definitely, I don't watch the news, but there's a heck of a lot more great people in the world than bad.
Than they project, yes. You know, far more.
You know, there's anything you do, there's good, mean, bad, and anything in life, right? But there is so far, I call them extraordinary. Mm-hmm. There's some extraordinary people out there that are really interesting. A little bit about team building. I don't know if that's I've got emails flowing through. I should probably shut it off, but that's okay. We're in a cafe, right?
Right.
I built corporate teams multiple times over the course of my time, and I love metaphors. And the last team I built was a short-term project, and I have a thing called Basecamp. I haven't been there. Well, there's Basecamp at the bottom of the mountain.
Right.
You get to Basecamp, and then you want a summit.
Right.
Okay. So I want to, and I will, go to the Basecamp of Mount Everest.
Oh, nice.
That's my goal. I will get there. Okay. I end up having some friends there. I have my book there, and they've taken pictures of my book.
Oh, fun.
Friend of Mount Everest at Basecamp.
Nice.
Right? I'm like, my book's been, but I haven't been there. So I have to be there because it's around my whole program of building a team. And when I first bring people in a room, I have a picture of Mount Everest in the conference room.
Yeah.
And I just go into the story like, we're building this team. But in order to summit this mountain, we have to get to Basecamp.
Yeah.
And right now we're at Basecamp in this conference room. And what we're doing is hiring and finding and creating a unique team.
Right.
Everybody that can do something different. Somebody that can cook. Mm-hmm. Somebody that knows how to run the map. Somebody that knows how to do the ropes.
Yep.
Somebody that can put up the tents. Right. And when you have that unique team all together and everybody's doing something unique together, totally opposite.
Yeah.
Right. Just like you describe it. We can summit and win. We can summit them all.
Yes.
But you need to get to base camp first to get that team. So right now, we're at base camp. We got to create that team so we can all win.
Nice.
And that's my metaphor to bring quick version of building a team and making sure everybody did something different.
Right.
We're unique.
Right? Yeah. That's one of the things in any team that I am at or on, I usually try to ask for connectional coffee, to do a connectional coffee. Not to talk about business yet, but just to get them to know them as a person. And when you get to know somebody who's on your team or you're going to be working with or whatever as a person, with like the barriers down and just here's who I am, here's what I love to do for fun and things like that, here's something quirky about me or whatever, it makes working with them so much more intuitive. You know, you have that ability to be more intuitive and in tune with who they are. It's just meeting another human. Because we have to ask each other things, you know, we have to ask them, hey, can you get this done by Friday? I know it's a rush, but it's so much better when you already know that them as a human being before you have to ask those types of things. That's what this does too.
I was just reading an article this morning on Medium. I'll read something, but this one just really stuck in my mind all day. It was basically about how the work culture, it's changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
because of the pandemic.
I hope so.
It needed a change, right? But it was really interesting. So this article was really about, and I remember the slogan a while back about, you know, my work wife or my work husband. Mm-hmm. If anybody worked in corporate America in the 90s all the way up to 2000s, everybody talked about their work wife. I think I had a few work wives. And I totally get it. I get the metaphor of it, right? And that memory of that go-to person, you know, somebody in the office, that your go-to husband would be, somebody that you could collaborate with and there was no intentions, but you're helping each other conquer whatever task you have.
Or just call them up and just bitch about something. Hey, can you believe what?
You know, it's work. You got off. That. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
And it's kind of missing now because people are working virtually now that they don't have that go-to kind of connection. Yeah,
right.
And that workplace of those, the work husband, the work wives is changed. And I'm like, there's a lot of things that's going to change.
But see, you can have that. Like I have a friend who we worked on a virtual team back before, even the pandemic and before, when I was still in corporate, that's been, a long, long time ago. But we worked on a virtual team just by nature of what we were doing, the project we were doing. And so we were 100% virtual no matter what. And immediately we connected. We didn't have hardly anything in common. But today I still text her. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And she's in a whole different area. I'm in a whole different, I'm out of corporate. And we still connect. In fact, just 2 days ago, I had a call with one of my work besties from the early 2000s. And we hadn't talked in 2 years. We usually talk at least once a year. And last year, her mother died. So we got on the phone and we can just pick up just as if nothing ever happened, right? No time had ever come across.
What do you think of it? The pandemic went on for a while. It's a couple of years. And still people, I work across the grain where I just moved into an office complex where I have my own office. I was 20 years at home and now I'm going the other way.
Right.
Office. So I have my own office. But anyways, what about the people that, so this has been going on for a while, we're going into 3 years now.
Right.
And so, COVID levels are, as we're recording this in December of 2022, there's it's going to, whatever. But it doesn't matter, whatever. It's flu, whatever. It is what it is. But the point of the matter is people aren't going back to the office though.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now this has been going on for so long. 2-3 years. What is your thoughts on the new workforce coming into the workforce? It's never had the work husband, the work wives, that connection, those deeper conversations of fun. Mm. Hey, let's go out and get coffee and come back and hit the boardroom. Those are the good old days, as we would say.
Right.
But the new generation coming in you don't know what you don't know.
You know what though? We all as human beings, we have that desire for connection somehow, somewhere to be seen. We have that desire for somebody to see us and to see other people. And that does not go away.
Do you think social media and the TikTok and the whole era of TikTok and social media, it's kind of worked with the world right now with the pandemic and the connections if we didn't have it and have it?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily doing us really well. I think it's see me.
I'm trying to find good.
Yes, see me, see me, see me, look at me, see me. All
watch
of that
me,
sort of thing.
Me.
Watch me, right? Yeah, I can do great things. But that does not create connection. In our true hearts, we seek that connection, connecting with people. And so I think we're all going to seek that out and find it however we can. Now, I think it's up to us to help other people to find ways. Like you don't even have to be in a corporation to have connectional coffee. You can call up your three best friends, three people that you know, your neighbors, whatever, have connectional coffee with them and then ask them for somebody if they would do a warm introduction for you for just another connectional coffee or put it out on any of your socials. Hey, I'm just having on LinkedIn, coffee is going back and forth all the time. Although I have gotten on a couple that they tried to sell me on something. I'm like, nope, not doing it. That's not what it's for. It's for a connection.
I don't want to be sold.
It's just understanding. So I think it's up to people who have had that and who know how to create connection virtually to be able to share that with others and with that, the younger generation coming in. Now, they're far more they're not going to say, I have Zoom fatigue necessarily because they've been on screens their whole lives so far.
Right. No, it's when you really think about it, you have, depending upon what age you are when you listen to this podcast or where you are in your life. you think differently, right?
Right.
Because
yes.
again, you don't know what you don't know.
Don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Right. And there's that longing inside of us, though. We all have that longing, whether it's hidden or scarred from childhood. Like pretty much all of our childhoods have scarred us, you know, in some way.
Make some of the greatest people in the world.
Yes. But yeah, it's just like we want to reach out. We want to reach out and connect with other humans. And it's totally possible. Totally possible.
Yeah. Yeah, even more now than ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to, you know, 10 years ago when I first started doing this, not knowingly, I had to actually jump on an airplane and to meet somebody,
right.
I'd actually go,
right?
And now I can, you know, have a conversation with you and over a call, and I can meet so many more people now than I ever did.
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, it's endless in my mind because I've already lived it and I know what I know.
Yeah. I love what you're doing.
Awesome.
I love the show. I mean, I just love the premise of it, the 3 o'clock coffee, and it just like rings true, right?
Yeah.
It just rings true.
Yeah. I think I bought the URL many, many, many years ago, the 3 o'clock coffee.
Nice.
And I think there's a company out called 3 o'clock coffee, actually.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know, but maybe we should have 3 o'clock coffee on our call with 3 o'clock coffee company.
Right.
I don't know who they are.
You should call them up.
I think maybe it's like 9 o'clock. I don't know what it is. Anyways, going down a rabbit hole now. Stacey, your conversation that I just had with you is probably going to stick in my mind for a while.
Good.
It's just right, this whole imposter syndrome of, and I'm really intentional about it because it's when I wrote my books, it wasn't about, I didn't want it to be, it's not about me,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't want to come across as bragging rights sort of thing. But I also believe it's only bragging rights till you actually do it.
Right.
So if you do it, it's bragging rights. It's different than saying, hey, you know what I'm going to do? And you're bragging about what you're going to do. But that's another story. But
right.
I do believe in that. You know, you do have bragging rights. And it's okay to brag and have those rights. But to your point, to have a purpose to help other people. Right?
It's okay to share your story. I tell people, I have helped people understand that it's safe. It's safe to share your story in the world. Right? It's you're creating a safe place to share something that might help somebody else. It's possible that it would help somebody else. And if it's possible, then you should do it. Go do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I wrote my book, Camera Focus, there's no photographs in the book, by the way. I was very honest and very transparent in it, where I talk about ADHD. I talk about taking Adderall in the book. You know, very open about it. And I did it intentionally because I want to make those conversations more conversational.
Right.
Because there's a time where if you saw a psychologist or a therapist, you didn't tell anybody.
The stigma.
You know, this whole life healing mental days didn't exist back then.
Right.
I say back then, I'm not talking that long ago. Right.
Right.
Because now the pandemic, I think it's more open, right?
Much more needed. That, you know, and it's, far more acceptable.
Yeah, right? But the point of the matter is the story that I went, when I would go to coaching programs and I'd always go in a bigger program that I probably should be in,
right.
Which I think that's the way you should do it.
Yeah.
Right. I want to be the dumbest guy in the room,
right.
Because I can learn a lot. And so that's what I do. And they would read my book. They knew the book was about ADHD and Adderall. And you wouldn't know how many times a very prominent CEO. I went to some of the greatest coaching programs in the world. I met some incredible people. And they would come over to me as a whisper. Hey, you're on Adderall too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. And they whispered it to me. And it was like they finally got their story out. Like, wow.
Right.
And like I have this connection with this guy. He's a billionaire running this big company. But we connect on LinkedIn and so forth. He'll just, you know, chime in and say something.
Yeah.
Because we have this connection that I told a story that maybe I helped him tell his story, but he just felt that it couldn't be told. And that was my point of writing the book. That was my point of helping somebody else.
Mm.
If you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. But it's the people that are doing it that don't want to share because they feel like those people, they'll judge me.
Right. And that's just a thought error from that primitive brain. I call it making the invisible visible. You've got to make that invisible visible.
Yeah,
for other people to connect with, because there are millions, probably billions of people that have the same, a very similar problem. And they don't know that you're out there.
They don't know. And they don't want to share. They don't want to. Is it sharing? No, it's helping other people
know
about information in a story brand kind of way.
Right.
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 This has been a great conversation. I think
this is so fun. We could go on all day.
Yeah. But I paid I paid a lot of money to go to a lot of lectures and conferences and workshops over my lifetime. And I'll tell you, this 45 minutes call that we had more information.
Aww.
If somebody listens to this alone, and maybe they listen to it two or three times, even if it's a year or 2 years from now.
Absolutely.
There's some great information here, guys.
Yeah.
And so thanks, Stacey, for sharing.
You are welcome. Download your 50 Cups of Coffee tracker and it tells you how to do it. Oh, so anybody.
I've already started. I'm already on the website.
Oh, good. All right. So, yeah.
I think it's,
you can put me down as your first cup of coffee there with on there the tracker.
Go. I love it. I love the idea that you systematized.
I know.
Because I winged 3 o'clock coffee and I didn't know where it was going to go.
Yeah.
And here it is.
Well, I love it because the sheet is keyword searchable. Like if you're going hiking and, you know, if you're going to base camp on, I forgot what the mountain was, Himalayas or
Mount Everest.
Yeah, Mount Everest. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, in the Himalayas.
I'm not a mountaineer. Right. Sure. But, you know, you could search that and find somebody else who has done it or has that a similar interest. And that's what I like. It's because
it's fun,
we forget.
Right? I mean, it's. Yeah. It's a life journey. It's fun. I've been doing it for 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
It's not something you just, it's something you just want to do and you do because you do it.
Right.
And I'll do it for another 20, 25 years. Right. But I'll have a bigger list in 25 years.
I'm so thankful for having coffee with you. This has been fun.
It's great. Thank you so much. And thanks for spending the extra time, longer than usual, but well worth the time. Again, I appreciate it. So till next time, enjoy your cup of coffee.
All right. Bye-bye.